Today on Real Life Radio.
So we must be faithful for others. And Jesus said in John 13, the world's going to know that you've hung out with me by your love for one another. I love that. If we love one another, automatic witnessing taking place.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
In a time when our culture is increasingly hostile to the teachings of the Bible and the traditional values they impart, Christians face the challenge of being labeled intolerant, offensive, and homophobic. How can we approach controversial topics with both reason and tact? And correct, not politically correct, author Frank Turek tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism, addressing common arguments about equal rights, discrimination, tolerance, and being born a certain way. This powerful and insightful book firmly yet respectfully defends biblical truth about sexual identity, marriage, and gender. Don't bury your head in the sand, but learn to stand with a biblical worldview. You can receive correct, not politically correct, when you make a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life today. Visit jackhibbs.com or call 877-777-2346. Order now.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, Who We Are. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it's his desire for us to know who we are in Christ. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that as Christians, we're to be godly examples for the unbeliever, to be faithful to others as we are faithful to Christ. Now, in his message called Who We Are, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When a child is not grateful for what you have given your life for them, there's no greater pain. Because from that root comes everything else. That's what comes, or that's the root which brings their disobedience out. That's the root that brings their anger out. That's the root that brings their rebellion out, is that they're not appreciative. They don't appreciate that there's a roof over their head. They don't appreciate hot water coming out of the shower. I told Lisa last night when I was going to bed and I went over to the thermostat on the wall. Is this amazing or what? Amazing. I went to the thermostat on the wall and I pressed a button and it lowered the temperature and I went to bed. Do you know what happened? Some machine out in the yard somewhere cooled my house down and I was so comfortable. And I laid down there and I told Lisa, thank God, did you see what I just did? She goes, what? I go, I just pressed a button on my wall and the temperature went down. Do you know why I'm thinking like that? Because I have a friend that just got here from Columbus, Ohio, and he said the heat index last week was 121 degrees. Oh yeah? I don't know anything about that. I'm living in Southern California where it ain't that hot. But he might call me up later and say, man, wow, you know, at least we don't have 8.10 earthquakes where we, you know what I'm saying? I mean, everything, and who knows what? I'm just saying, thank you, God, right now for the temperature. Thank you, God, right now we're standing here. You know, when you begin to think about who he is and what he's like, you begin to thank him for everything, and you won't be like a spoiled, rotten, little, rebellious deduction. He's an awesome God. Dr. Charles Ryrie of Dallas Theological Seminary wrote this. The meaning is profound and wholly unique to Christianity, for it is this: to look upon God's love as it is shown in the fact that Jesus Christ died for mankind, in whom there was nothing that evoked such love. He died for us. Be wise about who our God is. It's a wonderful thing. Also under this point is this: we are his instruments and we are to advance the cause of Christ. As Christians, we are to advance the cause. A moment ago, you chose, or if this was your home church, you put an offering to God by way not only of worship and not only by the study of his word, not only by you being here, but you put something back in the offering saying, God, thank you for providing for me this week. That's why we do that. It's in Scripture, and we do that. By the way, it's reserved for the believer. If you're not a believer today and you put money in the basket, you shouldn't have done that. You want your money back later after the service? You got to, I don't know what you're going to do. But next time around, don't do that unless you're a believer. It's holy, precious to God. But by doing that, you're saying, Lord, take this gospel message, take the influence of Christ, send it down the street and around the world. Cause it to help people, to reach the, Lord, I'm investing in the kingdom of God. And you pray for the leadership of this church that has the responsibility to pray and seek God as to how and to where this goes. We are in this together, church. It's not us and you, it's we. We're doing this together, advancing the cause of Christ. And Christians are to be suited up with this task. He says, verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the meat market. He taught us a few weeks ago on this very thing because the meat had been offered to idols. Remember? Whatever's sold in the meat market, get it. Ask no questions for conscience sake. Don't walk around the meat market and say, was this sacrificed to an idol? Was this sacrificed to an idol? Hey, if you see a nice big burger there, be quiet. Take it home and barbecue it, he's saying. And you say, well, how does that relate to our culture? It's kind of tough for us in this sense. We don't have these pagan things going on, but you have a dollar bill? Can you imagine? I don't want to imagine. Where has that dollar bill been? That's a pretty sick thought. What has it bought? Ay, ay, ay. In fact, you and I deal with that stuff on such a regular basis that I don't want to know, and that's exactly what Paul, I don't want to ask. If that dollar bill has come into my life, and the teller at the bank cashed my check and gives me that dollar bill, I don't want to have the history of that dollar bill. Why? Because who knows what it's been involved in? I just know this, that now as a believer, I can grab it, and I can use it for God's righteousness. I can redeem that dollar bill. I can redeem that meat that was in the Greek agora marketplace. Paul says, don't ask. For conscience sake, stay clear. Verse 26, this is the justification. Why what does it matter? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, so you get invited to a non-believer's house for dinner. That's very cool. I mean, that's awesome. When an unbeliever invites you to eat dinner at their house, if you desire, go. Whatever is set before you, eat it for conscience sake. You don't say, was this offered to like Moroni? Or was this offered to the Watchtower Society? Excuse me, was this burger prayed over by, you know, Buddhism or Hinduism or fill in the blank? Don't ask. Why? Because your God's the only one who's real. And listen, eat it and thank God for it. I think it's wise. It's awesome. Now watch, this is so practical. It says in verse 28, but if anyone says to you, now this is at the table. You're sitting down with people you kind of don't know, unbeliever invited you over. And you're all sitting around the table. And somebody at the table says, hey, that was offered to an idol. You can almost see it happen like this. Look, you go like this. And the guy goes, that was offered to an idol. What does that mean? Number one, he knows you're a Christian. Hey, wait. He's a non-Christian. Have you ever had a non-Christian say, it's okay, man. Calm down, Mr. Christian. You should pray about it. Isn't your God the ruler of the universe? Have you ever been rebuked by a non-believer like that? Hey, Jack, what are you upset about? I mean, your God, isn't he like huge? You should talk to him about that. Why don't you shut up? No, I'm kidding. What do you know? I know him. I'm the one panicking. It's funny. This non-believer sitting at the table says, hey, watch out, believer, Christian. Don't eat the burger. It's been offered to Zeus. Hey, if that's the case, he says, listen, don't eat it. Don't eat it. Why? Are you free to eat it? I'm free to eat it. Do you know that an idol's nothing? An idol's nothing. But the guy at the table who said it, it concerns him. So don't eat it. Can you do that? I said, Pastor Jack, no one's going to tell me how to eat. Well, then you don't have the love of Jesus in your heart. No one's going to separate me from my steak and eggs or whatever. Well, you know, that's too bad. You're living to eat instead of eating to live. I know a lot of people. I know It's funny. I mean, I know some Christians who, they're not even Jew. They're not Jews. They're not Jews. They have no Jewish background. Hey, you want to have pork chop? Let's go. I can't have pork. Well, why can't you have pork? Well, the Bible says you shouldn't eat pork. In my mind, instantly, are you Jewish? They're not Jewish. Are you? I don't get into it. I can't eat pork. It would be wrong for me to say and think, oh, wow, let me show them the liberty of Jesus. He won't have pork. I'll have three. Free in Christ, brother. Bring on the pork. Don't you know God made pigs too? And he told us to eat them up. Have you ever had smell the bacon in the morning? That's of God. You can't do that. You say, yes, I can. Yeah, okay, yes, you can do that. But would it be wise as a believer? That's not good. You know what you do? You order the tofu salad. You don't do that in front of him. Why? Because your desire is to advance the cause of Christ. If it's a believer, non-believer, it doesn't matter. You're sensitive to that. Very important. Why? Because we'll see in a moment, it's about winning people to Christ. Number one, winning the Christian closer to Christ, who's a friend of ours or an acquaintance of ours. The non-believer, winning them to Christ. And in a moment, we're going to see. And the Jewish man or woman, to win them to Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus is Christ. It's all important. Why? Because we are concerned about people who are lost. Church, have we gotten so comfortable? Have we forgotten there are people going to hell every day? Do we not even believe in hell anymore? It's real. Jesus spoke out against hell more than anybody. It's real. Well, I don't want to hear about that. You don't want to hear about it because it makes you uncomfortable. It should make us uncomfortable. I don't want to hear about it either. But I believe what the Bible says. And Jesus said that if we don't come to him, we're lost. Oh man, that is so narrow. Yes, it's narrow. Get over it. It's very narrow. Very narrow that God would come down to earth and die on a cross. He's only going to do that once. Very narrow. Yes, indeed. But hell is real, and God doesn't want anybody to go there. Listen to this. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for." C.T. Studd said, "Some want to live within the sound of church bells. I want to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell." Vance Havner said, "It is not our business to make the message acceptable, but to make it available. We are not to see that if they like it, but that they get it." The Bible tells us, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 12, he says, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, and thus fulfill your ministry." That's to every Christian.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then verses 29 to 31, each of us are to be reflecting his nature. Not much needs to be said on this. Look at verse 29. "Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Third and final point, verses 32 to verse 1 of chapter 11. Give no offense. Why? We are to be examples. Give no offense. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. "Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Look at verse 1. "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." Quickly, three things. So we must be faithful for God. Yep. You mean to God? Nope. For God. Give no offense to three groups of people, church. The word offense means this, watch. Don't put out your foot to trip them. The word means to keep them back. It means to hold people away from, hold them away from what? From the knowledge of Christ. This is amazing because number one, check this out. God reduces the entire world of humanity down to three camps. Jews, Greeks or non-believers, doesn't mean Greek, like Greece, non-believers, and the church, three groups. By the way, I've told you this before, but it always bears repeating. The Bible tells us that for the Gentiles who do not believe, Satan has blinded their eyes. For you who believe, the Holy Spirit has enlightened you. To the Jew, Satan has not blinded the Jew. The Bible says God has blinded the Jew. Never forget that. There's three groups of people, and you're in one of those groups. And the Bible says, Paul says to the Christian, don't do anything in your life. I'm only talking to the Christians right now. Don't do anything in your life that you would somehow cause someone to trip up en route to Christ. Don't you dare hold people back from coming to Christ. Didn't Jesus put it this way? Don't forbid the little children to come to me. If you're living a lifestyle that causes a non-believer to say, I'm not going to become a Christian like them, you are holding back someone from coming by your lifestyle. If you do not, the Bible says we are to provoke the Jew to jealousy. This happens every day in this church. I'm convinced of it. We are to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. See, what is that supposed to mean? Paul quoted that scripture from the Old Testament. He says it in Romans. Check this out. The Christian who knows the Lord should live their life in such a way and know our God in such a way that it causes the Jew to be completely freaked out that we know all about their God and their scriptures. They can't believe it. This has happened time and time again. What? Yeah, you know what? Whoever your Messiah is going to come from Bethlehem. Oh, yeah, that's a Christian story. Oh, no, it's not. That's a Jewish story. That's in the Old Testament prophet, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And you can go down a list, and you know what happens to them? You should see them. It's beautiful. They go like this. They get, first of all, they're like this. No, it's not. No, it's not. Oh, okay. Well, anyway. Well, you know what? And so, what? And how do you know our scriptures? Why do you care? You're provoking them. You're making them jealous to know their God. You're not tripping them up. A non-believer. Don't slap a non-believer. Are you a non-believer? Yes. Don't do that. Give them reasons to believe. Be faithful for God because you know what? The Lord wants to use you. As an example, in this world, almost done, 33 says, so we must be faithful for others. Christian, you're going to leave here in a moment. And Jesus said in John 13, the world's going to know that you've hung out with me by your love for one another. I love that. If we love one another, automatic witnessing taking place. By the way, that's why it's so important you get out of this building. You got to get out and show your love. Don't pull up and walk in the doors. No. You go out there in the love of God and just love on people. Jesus says, the world's going to know that you hung out with me by your real love for other people. Do it for Jesus. Do it for others. And look at verse 1, chapter 11. Be faithful for Christ. Be faithful for Jesus. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Church, that's awesome. What's the highest goal for the Christian? To imitate Jesus. I mean this. I'm not being rude about it. I'm just saying. The religions in the world that you know in your head popped in mine. Look at their founder. And ask yourself, are the followers of that founder of that religion doing what the founder did? Why? Because that's their goal. Pick any religion. What is their founder like? That's what they're doing. And then you come to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Genesis to Revelation, revealed and exposed in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you realize if people in this world adopted the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, do you realize how this world, can you imagine how this world would be? You wouldn't have to lock your door tonight. Imagine if the world began to imitate Jesus. Imagine if the church, just the church, imitated Jesus. We wouldn't need a stinking UN. The United Nothing. We wouldn't need CARE or what is the stuff, we wouldn't need the Red Cross either, because Christians would flood the world in need. And I want to end with this picture in your mind. I'm really ending. This is it. The worship team can come out. That's how ended I am. The word imitate, Paul lifted this word from the Roman theater of his day. It's a theatrical term. In between the first play on a Roman theater, while they changed the set, while the set was being changed, they were getting it ready for the second play, right? In between that work, there was a guy that came out called the mime. You ever heard of that? A mimic, a mime? You know the guy that does those things, right? Pantomime. That's the word Paul uses. He says, in this world, Paul says, I am walking like Jesus walked. I'm reaching out like Jesus reached out. I'm speaking like Jesus spoke. I'm doing what Jesus did. And Paul is saying, will you come with me and do this, Corinthians? Will you just stop goofing off and come and do this? Will you walk like him? And what an amazing, precious man of God who says, I tell you what, to make it real and tangible for you, just follow me, imitate me, mimic me while I live my life in between two plays, the first coming and the second coming. We're on stage and we, like Les Miserables, we end the play by inviting all of our audience to come and follow Christ with us and be freed from being the miserable. What an awesome picture. And we will choose to do it or not. The choice is ours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's as though our words even are sin when we speak to you. You who dwell in inapproachable light. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. I ask you to forgive me of my apathy. Lord, when we see the things that are there on the end of the camera, it's beyond words. It breaks your heart. Father, I pray that we would trust you and that trust would truly be lived out. It would be evident to the world that the people here at this church trust God. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Who We Are. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.